Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We are now within 11 days of the end of baseball's regular season. And there are still just four playoff spots that have been handed out. And of those four playoff spots, we don't even have four division winners. In fact, in the case of the... Wait, I lied. All right, we have to start over. Take two. There goes the perfect show. This might be a new record. This might be a brand new record. Not even 90 seconds into me pontificating, already I have to hit the reset button. Wait, can we try again? I need the open again. I'm completely off my game now. Okay. Oh, deep breaths. Cleansing breaths. I got this. Woo! Okay, you ready? Everybody get ready. I'm ready. I hope you're ready. Let's see if I can replicate the first 60 seconds before I royally screwed up. We are within 11 days of the end of Major League Baseball's regular season, and we still have just five playoff spots that have been locked up. Did you catch my error? Of those five playoff spots that have been locked up, only three of them are division titles. So that means we still have multiple division titles. Half of them, in fact, plus wild cards. There's a lot yet to be decided. And the race for best record in baseball and best record in each league will also go down to the wire. And the nip and tuck will determine who has got the old edge when it comes to the World Series, when it comes to home field advantage. I mean, was that really so hard, Amy? Thank heavens that we had the band ready to cue up American Woman again. Whew. Well, hello to you, too. I hope your day was better than my first 90 seconds on the air. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and CBSSportsRadio.com. We're inside the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So on Twitter at A-Law Radio, unless, of course, you're going to tell me that the first 90 seconds of my show was imperfect. Well, in that case, I got you covered. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. And then on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, extremely easy to find us anywhere that you might look on the World Wide Web. I am understanding, according to Twitter, that we've got Chicago on board for the next couple of hours. So hello to those of you listening on AM 670 The Score in the Windy City. Great to have you with us, especially since we're talking a little baseball. And right now the Chicago Cubs are one of those teams still attempting to lock up its berth in the postseason, to punch its ticket to go back to the playoffs and have a chance to defend its World Series title. Now, nobody needs to feel bad for the Cubs. They've got question marks for sure, but they're in a good spot. In fact, if I'm looking at some of the teams around Major League Baseball who are headed for the postseason or are still battling for the postseason, I think I'm far more concerned about the Los Angeles Dodgers. Yes, they still have the best record in the game They still do, despite all of the swoons, despite having just lost three games to the Philadelphia Phillies. But here's what you need to know. The Tribe is coming.
The set, the pitch, a swing and a high drive. This is crushed. Deep center. Trout is back at the wall, looking up. It's gone. He cleared the 18-foot wall just to the right of center. Francisco Lindor does it again. A towering two-run home run just to the right of center field. And the Indians have a 4-2 lead.
This is a game on the West Coast that just wrapped up a few minutes ago in Anaheim. The Indians get a one-run victory over the Angels, and Lindor in that leadoff spot cranks his 31st home run of the season. In case you're keeping score at home, Albert Pujols hit career home run number 614. He's nearly at 100 RBI, but it was in a losing effort. So here are the Indians, who now have just one game standing between them and the Los Angeles Dodgers, who, as I mentioned, lost again. So I tweeted about 45 minutes ago that the Indians are within a game and a half of the Dodgers for best record in Major League Baseball, but that is now shrunk to one game. So for a long time, the Dodgers had a massive cushion to protect them, even when they were dropping 15 of 16. Well, now that cushion is gone. Yes, they're still up big time in their own division, the NL West. But if they don't get their rears in gear, the Indians are going to overtake them for best record, which, should the Indians get back to the World Series, would guarantee that the Fall Classic has the same home field advantage as it did a year ago against the Chicago Cubs. So there's a lot still to be decided. That was really my main point when I started the show, when I wasn't looking. The Boston Red Sox locked up their playoff spot. They've won three straight. They still have a three-game lead over the Yankees in the American League East. Indians and Astros have already locked up their division titles to wrap up the American League. So we still have two wild cards and the East division crown to be awarded in the American League. And then in the National League, the Dodgers have yet to win their own division. I think their magic number remained two today because they lost to the Phillies, and the Diamondbacks were able to rally past the San Diego Padres. So the Dodgers, while they still have an 8.5 game lead in the NL West, have not yet won that West Division title. So we have the West Division, the Central Division, and both NL wild cards yet to be secure, with 11 days remaining in the regular season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This is the time of the year when people really get excited about what's to come. And why not? If you consider the way we wrapped up last year's baseball season with the 7-game World Series and, of course, the 3-1 lead for the Indians that the Cubs systematically erased. And then we went into extras with a rain delay in Game 7, and you had the thrill of victory after 108 years.
Great Scott!
Finally, the Cubs get that World Series title. And I think they were the sentimental favorite for a lot of fans around the country who didn't otherwise have a rooting interest. But this year, after the agony of defeat for the Indians, coughing up the 3-1 lead and losing on their own field, now it's the Indians who have the longest World Series title drought standing in baseball. And so maybe they become the sentimental favorite. Also, I'm sure I'm the only one who's keeping track of the number of home runs. So last night, of course, we had the brand new single season home run record for all of Major League Baseball. And tonight, gobs of home runs continuing to leave the ballpark. If you didn't take our hump show poll, it's on our show Twitter at After Hours CBS, and I retweeted not that long ago. But we were asking you whether or not you care about Giancarlo Stanton approaching 61 home runs this season. And we had the whole philosophical discussion because there are a lot of people who believe that 61 is the single season individual home run mark. I hate to be the bearer of bad news or rain on your parade, be your buzzkill. It's not official, but there are a lot of people out there who will tell you 61 is the actual home run record because all the other seasons that featured a player with more than 61 during the steroid era with either proven or suspected PED users. And so we put the poll up here asking you whether or not you care. Because there's been a bit of a debate in sports radio. Are people actually paying attention? And I had to vote no. I don't care if Giancarlo reaches 61 because it doesn't change anything. The only thing you can say about it officially is that we now have a player post-steroid era who has eclipsed that mark or tied that mark, depending on what we get to, that Roger Maris set back in 1961. So for those of you who care, and 30% of you say you do, that you're actually paying attention, another 20% of you have indicated, hey, when he gets to 60, then I'll start paying attention. Well, he took another step.
1-1 to Stanton. That's hit a long way. Deep left center toward the Clevelander, number 56. It's a 3-home-run inning for the Marlins. They've broken it wide open. Miami 9 and the Mets 2.
That's Glenn Geffner with the call on the Marlins radio network.
That's a lot of
He's got both. He's got a lot of home runs and a lot of ka-ching. But this year he's earning it. He's really been the reason why you would pay attention to the Marlins. That and the All-Star festivities. They haven't been in the race for a few weeks now. Going further back, if you want to talk about the NL East division, because the Nationals have dominated that for quite a while. But Giancarlo is now at 56. I don't know if he gets to 60, will more people find it interesting? Or maybe it's just for purposes of sports radio debate. Maybe it's just good for business. The fact that we could have Giancarlo be at 61 or 62, and then people can point to him as the home run king for a single season. 855-212-4227, that's our number. All right, we'll get to some of the other happenings around Major League Baseball, some of the diamond drama. I tell you what, the Dodgers middle relief is doing its starters absolutely no favors. The middle relief for Los Angeles imploded in the series with the Phillies, so that's a major concern. Whether it's Alex Wood, whether it's Yu Darvish, they're having a really hard time bridging the gap between their starters and Kenley Jansen. The Indians continue to win. Some Boston Red Sox history, which is pretty impressive, but in addition, it means something to me personally. And we'll update all of your magic numbers. Magic numbers, not magic mushrooms. I've never actually tried a magic mushroom, but I do love mushrooms. Just the plain old boring kind. Also, for those of you who were with us on last night's show, you know we were being pretty goofy. And I left here yesterday morning after the show. I left here Wednesday morning after the show. I don't even know what day it is. And I walked into the lobby. So we're on the 10th floor, and I come out of the elevator area, and I walk into the lobby, and the security guard, who I kind of felt like he was joking the last couple of months when he's like, oh, good show, because I was wondering if he actually listened or not. Every now and then, there's two security guards down there. Every now and then, they'll make a comment about football, which could or could not have anything to do with what they were listening to on the show, but they have a radio overnight. And last night it was confirmed that they actually do listen to the show and they're not just blowing smoke or sunshine, because he said to me, good show last night. cheese with this big smile on his face. And so there's absolutely no way he would have known that we were talking about cheese unless he was listening. So, you know, at least someone enjoyed it. And actually, I got your tweets all day long about cheese. So if you got a kick out of it, that makes me happy. That was worth all of the cheesiness. All right, you can find me on Twitter at A-Law Radio. Hello to you listening in Chicago. Facebook, too. We're all over the place. You can't get rid of us. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Are you ready for some magic numbers? Want to make sure you know exactly where your team stands. Is your team gaining ground? Is your team losing ground? We got a lot to decide before the final days of the regular season run out like the hourglass. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's cram in as much as we possibly can, starting in the National League. In case you didn't know, the Milwaukee Brewers have been creeping on the Colorado Rockies, doing everything they can to put themselves in that wild card conversation.
Number three.
Moroff not going, the 1-1, and a swing and a fly ball hit out to right and deep, and this one is out of here! Adam Frazier! It's a walk-off home run! Frazier with the game winner! And the Buccos snap this skid with a big night from the kid from Bishop, Georgia.
Big deal for the Pirates, but also big deal for the Brewers, who lose on a walk-off. Joe Block with the call on the Pirates radio network. So that 6-4 final means that Milwaukee doesn't gain any ground in either the NL wild card or the NL Central. And there was an opportunity there because the Cubs lost earlier to the Tampa Bay Rays. So the division race in the Central is Cubs up 3.5 on the Brewers, up 5 on the St. Louis Cardinals, and it could take every last day of the regular season for the Cubs to clinch if it continues to be this neck and neck. The magic number for them to win the Central Division is still 8. But maybe for the Brewers, a lot of them, their fans focused on that wild card, so they remain a game back of the Colorado Rockies in the NL wild card race. So Rockies still possess that second wild card. And right now, Arizona trying to put on the afterburners to secure their own spot in the postseason.
And the first pitch to Archie, batting right-handed, is a line drive base in center field. And he gets by Margot and goes to the wall. Two runs are going to score. Look at Archie go. He's chugging around second. He's heading for third. He's going to go in there standing up. And the Diamondbacks get 2 to the lead. They lead it 9-6.
Diamondbacks hang on for a big win over San Diego. Greg Schulte on the Arizona Diamondbacks radio network. They're now up 5.5 on Colorado for that first wild card spot. So despite all of the jostling in the NL Central and the surge by the Brewers yet again, and St. Louis is not eliminated either. They're only 2.5 back of that second wild card. We still could end up with 3 teams from the NL West in the baseball postseason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. For the American League wild card, the Yankees have been able to open up a gap that's even larger than what the Arizona Diamondbacks have done in the NL.
Number two.
The pitch is cut on and hit in the air to deep right. It is high. It is far. It is gone. A Judgian blast right inside the right field foul ball. All rise. Here comes the judge. It is judgment day. It's a 2-run home run, and the Yankees are right back in the game. And with those 2 RBIs, Aaron Judge now has 100 RBIs on the year.
Aaron Judge ends up powering the Yankees to an 11-3 victory over the Twins. And with that home run, which was his 45th of the year, and 3 RBI in the game, he's now at 101. this rookie has had some kind of power surge, and he's gone through a slump, too. There was a big slump coming out of the All-Star break. Remember when he was the new face of Major League Baseball? There was a big slump where he had set the new record for strikeouts in consecutive games. However, he's continued to add not only to his stats and this impressive rookie season, but along with Gary Sanchez and Didi Gregorius and some stout pitching where maybe you didn't expect it for the Yankees, they've continued to win and are now at 85 victories and have a 7-game cushion in the American League wild card. And Aaron Judge, he remains humble.
That's just an example of, you know, me just being in a good position and being on a good team. You know, these guys always put me in a good position. They're always runners on base for me. There's always just getting into good counts because of the team around.
It's not just the wild card that the Yankees have in their sights. They're still just 3 games back of the Red Sox in the AL East. Red Sox did clinch a postseason berth on Wednesday, so they become the 5th team to reach that playoff party. However, as well as the Yankees are playing, they're not making up any ground.
Number one.
They're on their feet at Camden Yards. Here's the kick, the 2-2. Strike three, there it is, number 300. Chris Sale, 300 strikeouts in a single season.
That's a call on the Red Sox radio network with Tim Nevrett. Another 8-inning outing for Chris Sale and 13 strikeouts. So he only allows 4 hits, shutout ball, hands off then to the bullpen, but it's a 9-0 victory for the Red Sox over the Orioles. And so not only do the Red Sox continue to win and maintain their lead over the Yankees in the AL East, but in addition, Sale joins Pedro Martinez in the category of 300 strikeouts in a season for the Boston Red Sox. In fact, Pedro was the last guy to do it in 1999 when he set the franchise mark at 313. And Sale's not done. Could potentially have another maybe 1 start before the end of the regular season, depending on how it shakes out. But yeah, he and Pedro now in the same sentence.
Being here and having that name thrown around is special to me. You know, I don't take it lightly. So you know, he's one of the best to ever step on that mound. So being in the same sentence as him is pretty crazy to me.
Pedro, the last American League pitcher to do it, the last Red Sox to do it, of course. Hola, ¿cómo está? But Sale now at 17-7. Reached that milestone on his final pitch. So 300 strikeouts in a season. And yes, the Pedro Martinez record from 1999 is certainly well within his reach. So Red Sox up by 3 games on the Yankees in the AL East. Both those teams playing really well, could be dangerous come the postseason. Magic numbers, if you're looking for magic numbers, still 10. Oh no, I made that up. Excuse me. Magic number is 8. For the Red Sox. I was looking at the wrong number. There's way too many numbers on my pieces of paper. Whew. Okay, good. Are we all good? I'm going to stay away from numbers in case you don't mind. Straight ahead, you don't need numbers to tell you that you've got a Cleveland Indians team that not only has this incredible win streak over the course of the regular season, certainly has motivation to get back to the World Series for a little redemption and vindication. But everything right now seems to be going full tilt for them, and they are encroaching on what has been Dodgers territory for most of the season. Only a game back for best record overall in Major League Baseball.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Last night when we had Steve Berline, former NFL QB and LA native, on the show, I asked him if he was nervous at all about the Dodgers, and he said no, they still have the best record. He'd rather them get this slump and swoon out of the way before they get to the postseason, which certainly makes sense. The problem is some of the issues are being exposed now over this last, I mean, we'll call it 3 weeks, almost a month now, that they really have started to scuffle. They used to win games every which way, whether they were final at bats, whether they were blowouts, it would be their starting pitchers, their relief. They would have all kinds of different guys who would contribute. And now after losing the 15 out of 16, sure, they came back and they won, I think it was 4 games in a row. But they have not yet locked up the NL West. And do y'all remember when 116 games was the pace? They were at some point in the season, I would say about mid-August or so, maybe early August, we were talking about how this could be the team that matches what the Seattle Mariners did in 01, right? When they had 116 wins. And for Dave Roberts' crew, after losing now 3 straight to the Phillies, huge for them, right? That's their World Series. Roberts is left trying to find the silver lining in these games where the middle relief has imploded. Clayton Kershaw gives up his first career grand slam. They can't drive runners home. When they get a lead, they can't keep a lead. I mean, it's been rough.
I believe that there's some components in these, even these last 3 games, that for us going forward, I think we can build on. And yeah, no one likes losing. There's a lot of upset guys in there.
I certainly can understand that. I actually heard Charlie Steiner talk about the guys looking panicked on the field tonight. I was doing some housework and I was listening to games instead of watching. And it was a double. It was bases loaded. Bases were loaded on 2 walks and an error. And so they hadn't given up a hit in the inning. And the Phillies were able to crank a ball off the wall. So Dodgers had just come back to tie the game at 5. And Phillies are able to take advantage of some, you know, some walks, some errors, some mistakes, and crank a ball off the wall. And this was in the bottom of the 7th inning. And Charlie Steiner actually said this was the first time he had seen the players on the field look like they were panicked. Maybe this was the 8th inning. Yeah, it would have been the 8th inning, I think. So yeah, their middle relief is struggling. And even when they do get strong starts like Alex Wood and Yu Darvish, bullpen can't make it hold up, or they can't produce when they've got guys on the bases, ducks on the pond. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I certainly can understand now if there are Dodgers fans who are freaked out. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
At the same time, you could look glass half full instead of glass half empty and realize that they still have the best record in baseball. Now, it's only a game better than the Cleveland Indians, but they still have the best record in baseball, even as bad as the last month has been. Let's talk to Eric, who's in Chicago. Eric, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy. Speaking of being nervous, I'm a little nervous about my Cubbies coming into this upcoming week after losing or snapping our 7-game winning streak, now with 4 against Milwaukee and 4 against St. Louis. It's starting to look a little grim with our lead still only at 3.5 with 8 games to go against division foes. So it's getting a little nervous here.
I would say in the case of the Cubs, this ain't no big thing. I mean, I know that the Cubs would like to be playing better, or fans would like them to be playing better into the postseason, but they still have the 3-game lead. They did, as you mentioned, just have a 7-game win streak. And considering the pressure situations this group of guys, the core group of guys, has been in the last year even, I feel like this is nothing for the Cubs. I understand. Yeah. I understand they're not playing as well as they were a year ago. But at the same time, to have them get pushed a little bit and to feel a little pressure, that's just prep for the playoffs.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, it's a little scary. I mean, at this time last year, we already were in the postseason, basically had the division wrapped up, and it's been up and down. Our pitching has actually been a little worrisome at points. That's why it's kind of worrying me going in there with Milwaukee, especially with them right on our heels right now. It's getting a little nervous feeling here in Chicago.
Well, I get it. At the same time, and the thing is, the NL wild card has still got Arizona and Colorado in the 2 spots. But they're still in a real good spot. They're 3.5 up, and the magic number's 8. So you're
thanks to Adam Frazier.
Right. You're talking about creeping. But the thing is, you'd rather be in the position that they're in than be in Milwaukee's, right? I mean, you'd rather be the three
the
and a half up,
than behind,
right? Than be behind going into this. So let's say that you split the series, or the series ends up being two wins for Milwaukee. It still is a big step forward, a big step back, and in the end, it's kind of a wash. So yeah, I mean, I understand being nervous because the team is not quite on that same roll that it was, but you're just coming off a 7-game win streak, and they have had some stretches in the second half where they've looked like the World Series champs.
Yeah, so who knows? We'll see. Just have to sit on my hands here for the next week.
Again, if there's any team that's battle-tested in Major League Baseball, it would be the Cubs and then, of course, the Indians, who had to go to Game 7 last year, and the Cubs obviously faced elimination and faced the end of their season multiple times.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks, Amy. Nice listening to you.
Thanks so much for tuning in Chicago, Eric. I appreciate it. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Lewis, who's in Houston. Lewis, welcome to After Hours.
Hello, Amy.
Hello.
Especially since, hey, what's up there? I'm just glad I was able to reach you again because, again, helping to take my mind off things because now I'm on the other side. First, I'd love to know. Hear from me after Harvey. Now I'm ready to hear from my loved ones in Puerto Rico since I lost power due to Maria. But, you know, I think somehow they'll be okay.
The entire island is without power. I've never heard of that situation before, but the entire island of Puerto Rico is without power.
Yes, it is. Yes, the second hurricane I've had like that in 84 years. But I believe they'll be okay. I mean, I believe in miracles. And speaking of which, I mean, I thought the Astros pretty much had giving up the best record for dead because before the Indians went on that 22 in a row tear, I think we had the best record over them by something like, well, 5 or 6 games, and then Cleveland just got hot, and then they were the Windians. So now I think you said they're getting back of the Dodgers, which means we're 2.5 back. But, of course, the thing is I still think we have the best road record in baseball. So we'll see what happens because I was 6 in 1980 when the Astros were 5 outs away against the Phillies, and then, you know, Nolan Ryan on the hill at the Astrodome on the top of the 8th, and then we wound up, I think, losing that game by 1 run. And then, of course, 1986 and the Mets. I'm kind of sorry we won't be facing the Mets in the World Series this year. We still owe them for that. And then, of course, 2004 and 2005 were back-to-back NLCSs. We baked through in 05, and then that other Chicago team, the JV team, beat us. But, you know, because, hey, I mean, I'm an Astros fan, but, you know, go Cubbies if we don't win it all. I just want to hear your take. I mean, can the Astros overcome? Because you're talking about the Dodgers kind of fading, but they did have a better record than the Astros by 10 games as far as overall record. And then I think they're still about, 6 or 7 games, something like that, over the Diamondbacks. But can the Astros overcome? Well, first of all, I mean, our bullpen. I mean, outside of, I think, Martez and Feliz, and then I think Peacock and Peacock has taken his turns out of the bullpen, too. Outside of that, Giles, I mean, you put Giles in, you know, in a close one-run game. It's like people just kind of, you know, start heading for the exits because that guy, him and James Hurd have taken their turn being our Rick Walton Vaughn out of the bullpen. But I just want to say thank you. And before I let you go, I also wanted to sing you a little something from, you know, it's such a tune of If Only Had a Brain, but the closing segment, and it goes, I hope someday you'll thank me, and please don't you hate me, because I'm always ready for our Amy.
Okay, that was unique, Lewis. All right. As for the Astros, again, I feel the same way about the Astros that I do about the Cubs. Not quite the same pressure situations, but these guys, even these young guys, have had some playoff experience, not World Series experience, but some playoff experience where, and they've been in a couple of division races where I feel like they are in a spot that they recognize what's on the line and they understand what it takes to win. And then you add guys like Carlos Beltran and Brian McCann, and these are veterans who certainly have been in the heat of battle. And I know that the Astros haven't been pushed in their own division for quite a while, but as you talk about, they've also been keeping their eyes on the best record in the American League. They have 93 wins. They've got another six straight. The Indians have 95 wins. So that's your gap right there. It's a game and a half. Still very much within reach. I think the Astros are in a good spot. Adding Justin Verlander was huge, absolutely huge. He has been pitching Cy Young-esque in the second half. Let's work in a quick call from Michael. Michael in Houston, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, good morning, Amy. How are you?
Well, it is not morning because I've not gone to bed yet, but good morning to you. Good for you.
I work nights, too. So how about them Astros? And they need more hitting. 4-3 ain't going to cut it when they get to the playoffs. So that's my comment.
Actually, if you can win those games in the postseason, those are the ones where you feel really good. I mean, that's the whole deal, is that it's all right to win a close game, whatever it takes to get that win and to move on to the next one.
Yep.
And plus, you have a shorter rotation once you get to the playoffs, too.
Might want to have a cooking show, too.
Might want to what?
Have a cooking show.
No, dear God. 20 hours of live radio a week is plenty for me. Thanks.
I hear you. All right. Bye.
All right, Michael. Yeah, you shorten your rotation once you get to the postseason as well. And so it's different when you get there because it's all hands on deck. Whatever you have to do inning by inning. I mean, it's pitching and hitting by committee. All kinds of unconventional moves that you might get from your manager and from your pitching coaches. And I love that, where it becomes such an intense and introspective chess match where every little thing that you do is not only magnified because of its impact, but also put under a microscope for the rest of the world, the media and fans, to magnify too. And I know people complain a bit about the games that can go on and on, but I love the strategy and how feels like your whole world could be hanging in the balance for about an hour. If you need auto parts but can't get to the store just yet, head to O'ReillyAuto.com. No shipping costs, easy returns, convenient pickup on your schedule. We go to Anaheim to talk Indians next here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.